Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are going to be covering a few unsolved cold cases from around the world. In this series, usually, I'll be covering cases that are a bit lesser known, so you may not have ever heard of these before, but if you have, I would love to know your thoughts on any of these things or your theories. Joining me today is my friend, Nordic Vampire. He helped me read one of the cases today, and if you enjoy his voice, please be sure to subscribe to his channel. You can find the link to do so down in the description down below. Now, without any further hesitation, let's get into these unfortunate cold cases. There's nothing worse than losing a loved one. But what if you had no information as to what happened to them? Well, the loved ones of Daniel Reeves would tragically face this reality in May of 2008. Daniel Reeves and his girlfriend Sarah were enjoying a night together in Madison, Indiana. It was May 3rd, 2008, and the couple were enjoying a nice date night watching a movie. They were at Sarah's house at the time. The couple went to bed, and sometime around 4 a.m., Sarah woke up. She noticed Daniel was not there, and she had received a text from Daniel saying nothing more than, "I love you." She tried to call him, but he was not answering his phone. This would be the last time anyone would ever hear from Daniel Reeves, and thus, the mystery as to what happened to him begins. Before I go any further, I should mention Daniel was last seen wearing a white or light blue t-shirt, brown steel-toed sneakers, tan shorts, and potentially a black leather jacket. Daniel had no known medical issues aside from mild social anxiety as claimed by his parents. He has dark brown hair and blue eyes. He is 5'11", and weighs about 145 pounds or so. Roughly about a week after being reported missing, Daniel's 1999 Chrysler Sebring convertible was located on Green Hill Drive, which is very close to Clifty Falls State Park. This park is a hiker's heaven. Many local college students and residents use these trails quite often in the fall and spring months. Daniel had much experience in the area as he was raised there. It is reported that he had even hiked in this area in the past. The real question is, though, why would Daniel Reeves decide to go for a hike at 4 a.m.? At the time, it would have been around 42 degrees outside. Since Daniel was last seen wearing shorts, this would surely not be the ideal hiking setup. When officials found the car, they reported it was unlocked, which Daniel's family thought was strange, as he would always lock his car, even in the driveway of his own home. Officials found Daniel's wallet, including all of his credit cards and IDs. However, Daniel's phone and car keys were nowhere to be found. The Indiana State Police searched the car as well. They claimed to have found nothing of worth, though. A search was conducted in the Clifty Falls State Park on May 10, 2008. Clifty Falls is a park full of railroad tunnels and caves, as well as numerous waterfalls. This can surely make hiking the park a real challenge at some points. The park, however, is rather small, only covering roughly 2 square miles. Nothing was ever found that could be tied to Daniel or his disappearance. Cell phone records show he has never used his phone since the last text to Sarah. The question as to what happened to Daniel Reeves still remains a mystery to this day. Before I end this look on the tragic disappearance of Daniel Reeves, I'd like to take a few moments to go over some speculation and theories I found while looking into this case. First off, I'd like to say I stumbled upon this case on Reddit from a write-up done by the user named Buy a Freeway, I Confess. Essentially, this user's post shared the Charlie Project profile of Daniel and his case. I found this case interesting, as it seemed to me that this may have been a potential suicide. The details kind of seemed to lead to that direction. But I, of course, never want to be the insensitive guy and throw out wild accusations like that with no proof. While I wasn't able to find out much from this, other than archives online, I did find a lot of theories on forum posts. Many of these theories focus on mental health. After some digging, I did find a section where Daniel's parents claim he had no medical issues or mental problems outside of small social anxiety. A few users on this forum post made the point that oftentimes parents aren't fully informed on the extent of their children's mental health, especially when they move out and start their own lives. Another theory mentions that it is very common to park further away from the entrances like Daniel did, as the park is small and limited to trails. Foot traffic off the beaten path would be scarce to none at all. These off-the-beaten-path trails also take you into some extreme terrain that could easily cause death even for the most experienced of hikers. Ultimately, this story may never be solved. And that is what bothers me the most about these type of stories. I only wish I could know what led up to those final moments in Daniel's life that made him decide to take this hike. This case reminds me a lot of a story of John Glasgow, who disappeared mysteriously in 2008 under similar circumstances. John's skeleton was eventually found, but sadly, nothing will ever be understood of how he died. What do you think of this case? With the minimal detail shared with us, it honestly feels like a suicide story. This is just speculation, though, so please be respectful in the comments. If anyone struggles with mental health and needs someone to speak to, the Suicide Prevention Hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call them at 1-800-273-273. Talk. Again, you can call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 1-800-273-TALK.
Norman Reginald Johnson was a longtime resident of Wigan, Lancashire, England. It was his hometown. A place he seemingly knew very, very well. Norman was 70 years old when he would seemingly vanish into thin air. On the evening of March 29th, 2011, Norman would attend a dance class in a nearby town called Hindley. He would never return home from this trip, though. Norman's partner, Colin Sweeney, claimed to have received a call from Norman at around 5 a.m. that morning. Colin said Norman sounded agitated and was claiming his car had been stolen. Initially, Colin thought Norman was probably confused due to his recent diagnosis of dementia. It would seem Colin's assumption was correct, as Norman's car was found in Hindley, only a short distance from his dance class. After this phone call, there would only be one solid sighting of Norman Johnson. This sighting came roughly 24 hours after he was last seen, sometime around 8:50 p.m. on March 30th, 2011. A ticket inspector on a train that was traveling from London to Wolverhampton feed a passenger of traveling without the correct ticket. The passenger gave their ID to the inspector, who claims that it was Norman Johnson's. The inspector said this passenger got off the train at Birmingham, allegedly to catch a train to Wigan. Unfortunately, this sighting wasn't investigated until well over 6 weeks later, when Colin received a penalty fare notice at their home. By this time, no CCTV footage would be available, so it has never been and will sadly, probably, never will be clear on what exactly happened that day on the train. If we could see this footage, we would certainly be able to see if that passenger truly was Norman. Regardless, police pursued the basis that it was Norman on the train that day. They believed he had become lost somewhere between Birmingham and Wigan, potentially getting off at the wrong station along the way. Since his disappearance, no activity has been detected from his bank account or credit cards. The family speculates that he may have died not long after he disappeared. Even though a body has never been found, in February 2020, the English High Court declared Norman Johnson legally dead. Even though it was agreed by the court that Norman likely died not long after he disappeared, the court ruled his date of death to be February 5th, 2020. This case is truly strange, though. Why does it seem that there is more to the story than what is being shared? Colin Sweeney died in 2017, never knowing the fate of his partner. The strangest part of this timeline, though, is that if Norman truly was on the train from London to Wigan, that must mean at some point he travelled to London from Wigan, which would be around 200 miles out of his way. Then he would have had to come all the way back. In his confused state, I would think some people would have noticed. If anyone noticed a confused passenger, police have not disclosed them, as far as I can tell. This case, like many others covered on this channel, does not have much information surrounding it. Regardless of that, I still wanted to share this case with you all. Sadly, Colin has passed, but I do hope Norman's remaining family can find closure and answers.
The case of Angela Hammond is genuinely a weird and tragic one. Angela Hammond was last seen in Clinton, Missouri at 11:45 p.m. on April 4th, 1991. She was talking to her fiancé, Rob Schaefer, at a telephone booth in a parking lot outside of the Food Barn store in the center of town, in the area of Jefferson Street and 2nd Street. Hammond told him she was too tired to meet him, as they had planned, and she would go to their home and take a bath instead. She also told him a suspicious man circling the parking lot in his old truck had been watching her. Angela described him as filthy and a bearded man. She said he parked his truck near the booth and got out of it with a flashlight, as if he was looking for something. Suddenly, Rob could hear Angela screaming, and then the line went dead. Her car was later found abandoned in the parking lot. Rob immediately drove to the phone booth. On the way there, he passed a late 1960s or early 1970s model green Ford F-150 pickup truck and heard Angela scream his name. Rob followed the vehicle for about a mile on 2nd Street and Culvert Drive, but his own car's transmission failed and he had to stop driving. Rob said the truck he saw had a decal of water or an outdoor scene completely covering the rear window, possibly a white top, and possibly damage to the left front fender. Witnesses reported seeing a Caucasian man driving a similar truck near the telephone booth at the time Angela disappeared. The man, who has never been identified, was wearing coveralls and a dark-colored baseball cap. He had eyeglasses, a beard, and a mustache. A composite sketch of the suspect is posted with this case, as you can see. Rob himself was considered a suspect for a time after Angela's abduction and was given a polygraph test. He was cleared of any involvement, however. Angela's case has been linked to a few other Missouri women. Cheryl Ann Kenny, a convenience store worker who disappeared after locking up her store in Nevada, Missouri, around 70 miles from Max Creek on February 27, 1991. And Trudy Darby, another convenience store clerk who was in Max Creek, Missouri, was abducted from her workplace in January 19, 1991, 6 weeks prior to Hammond's disappearance. The store was also found robbed of $220 afterwards. Darby's nude body was found in the Little Neongwa River 2 days later. She had been shot in the head twice with a shotgun. Half-brothers Jesse Rush and Marvin Cheney were later convicted of the robbery and Darby's rape and murder. There are similarities between the murder and Hammond's abduction and Kenny's disappearance, but there is no hard evidence to link the cases. All three cases remain unsolved. There were some unconfirmed sightings of Angela, however, in several states, and even in Canada after her disappearance. At the time she went missing, she worked in a bank and also attended classes at Central Missouri State University in Warrensburg, Missouri. If anybody has any information on any of the cases presented here today, please be sure to contact the authorities. Thanks for watching this video, my friends. If you enjoyed these unsolved cold cases, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. Man, these cases were very tragic and just some doozies. While researching these, I honestly kept scratching my head, wondering why I wasn't doing an in-depth documentary on each one of these cases, but sadly I'm reminded that there's not enough information for that. That last case, though, really pulls at my heart. Could you imagine being so close to potentially saving your girlfriend and hearing her voice and then just having her drive away because your car fails on you? It's insane. Thank you guys once again. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcasting platform out there. If you have a suggestion for a future case that you would like me to cover, be sure to comment them down below. I would love to see any of your thoughts as well on these cases. Please let me know what you think happened in these cases. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.